The scripture reading tonight, the one listed in the bulletin I'm going to get to in just a second, I asked David if I could supplement it a little bit and add a little something from 1 John as well. So I'm going to read 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 to begin with. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. The other one is in John, chapter 14. I'll read verse 15, and I'll read 21 through 24. John 14, 15, and then 21 through 24. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
The title of the sermon is Keeping the Lord's Will, and exactly what that means. We won't have every detail tonight about what that means, but we'll cover a lot of territory, and you'll get a good idea of the major points that we need to know of what that means. Exodus, let's open to check Exodus chapter 19 and verses 7 and 8. Moses came, called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. They said, all the words. Okay, and so verse 25, in chapter 19, Moses went down unto the people, and we'll continue to read, and spake unto them. Chapter 20, God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation unto them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth to thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. And in all places where I record my name, I will come to thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou shalt lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up to the steps of thine altar, that thy naked be not discovered there. So we see that God's law is very thorough. And then just to add to that a little bit more, if you look at chapter 21, and the law goes on, and then in chapter 22, and then all the way to 23, and I'm not going to take the time to read that right now, and also to the beginning of chapter, to the end of 23, and then also in chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. This is afterwards. And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses shall alone come up near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Of course, as we are in our Wednesday night studies, and we've covered that a little some time ago, we know that they did not do all that was said. In fact, they murmured. And then there was also a golden calf, plus there was many other things. And they sent fiery serpents among the people. But they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do. Let's turn over to Genesis. We see how chapter 6, we see how thorough God's word is. He didn't leave out much. Genesis chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the Lord also, and the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of the flesh is come before me of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms that thou shalt make in the ark shalt thou pitch within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt build it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make unto the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark, and set in the ark thereof, with lower and specific and third, second and third stories. Shalt thou make it, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, and under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come thou unto the ark, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And verse 22, Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. But Noah did. That's very notable that they wrote that in there. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And also verses 1 and 5 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So what do we learn? We learn that God's will is thorough, it's specific, and that when we listen to see what God wants and then proceed to do his will, that we're on safe ground, we're in God's favor. And then when we don't do it, we're not in his favor. The way that most of the world is either to ignore God's word altogether or do some of God's will, but not all of it. And a friend of mine and myself used to have religious or Bible discussions in the workplace when it was our break time. And he was a denominational persuasion. I was really amazed at how he chose one denomination or another church altogether. He had a certain political point of view. He wanted to write, I think it was either the governor or the president, wanted to express his point of view and straighten things out politically. So he asked his minister or preacher about it. Preacher's response was, what he said was that he probably would not even receive a response to his letter. So what my friend did was start visiting another church, I believe a whole different kind of church, and he got up the nerve and asked that preacher the same question, and that preacher's response was, go for it. So that's where my friend is attending to this day. And that was his criteria, man's criteria, for choosing a church. Had nothing to do with God's word or keeping God's commandments. And another thing, when we used to talk on break time, we would have conversations, and he would say things like, well, you know, this verse in the Bible says believe. Okay. But then this verse over here says repent. But then this verse over here says, well, we're saved by grace. So which one is it? And I could have said all those, but he wasn't really in a listening mood. He had them all right, but you don't just pick one of them. And we'll get to that later on. You can't pick and choose when it comes to God's will. God has a plan for us. So a Bible example, let us turn over to Leviticus 1 and 2. And I know that you know the verses well, but it's good to read them. Remember Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. That there at the mount, when Lord was giving the law of Moses, or the law to Moses, Nadab and Abihu were there. They were the sons of the high priest, Aaron, which were the nephews of Moses. Keep that in mind. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out from the fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that which the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. Before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So we truly want to know what God's will is, and then do it. And do all of it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. I don't know if I'll quote it verbatim, but it teaches us to study God's word so that we're not ashamed, that we're a workman that needeth not be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of God. Although all through the Bible we see that there's always been law through either the patriarchal, the Mosaical law, and in New Testament. Not only has there always been law from God, but God has been very specific all the way through. He's been consistent. And then the New Testament law is very specific, and he's always been thorough. He didn't leave much out, if anything. And to keep half of God's word and not keep the other 50% is sin. If you keep 95%, but you don't keep the other 5% or don't practice it, it's still sin. We're missing 5%. I guarantee you, if you're probably in a rocket, I don't know if they call it that now, but some vehicle that carries you to Mars, you can't be 5% off. You probably wouldn't make it. Another really important point concerning law or God's word or his will is that we do not have the privilege or freedom to add to or take away from. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2 says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Proverbs 30 and verse 6 says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." It's an interesting verse. That we, by doing that, can be found a liar. Revelation 21 and 27. "One that makes a lie shall not enter in," that is, into heaven itself. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. "For I testify unto you, and to every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, 12 through 17. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." Just stopping there for a minute, "to his work shall be." If anyone says that works is not important, well, there's one that says that works are important and necessary. They're necessary to prove our faith, too. But the works of God, not the works of man, and the ones that he specifies. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments," "that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." John 1 and verse 12. We'll get there later. We read these things, and then, almost abruptly, but here is the invitation that God gives in verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So with that invitation, and all through here, we've mentioned that God is thorough, which he is, and he's very specific. His plan is thorough, it's complete, and it's specific. Number one, with God's invitation, verse 17 of that, first is to hear the word, Romans 10 and verse 17. "That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Two is to believe. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believed on his name." Repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Confess. Romans 10 and verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And also in Luke 12, verses 8 and 9, "I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, Him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And then we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts 2 and 38. Acts 22 and 16 says, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But we don't stop at baptism. Those are the steps necessary, but we're also commanded. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So that's our invitation this evening. And if you've never been baptized or become for the remission of sin or become a child of God, we invite you to come as we sing the song. And also, if you are a Christian or a child of God and there's sin in your life, we also invite you to come and let your request be known as we stand and sing the song.